everyone. Welcome to Around the Gridiron, Around Campus, the full press college football podcast. I'm your host, Jim Berenger. Special collaboration episode today with the MMM Journal, Avery Jones. She does great work with Miguel Mike Medina covering college football over there. She's got her own brand as well. Avery, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Jim, for having me. I've been really excited about this collaboration. Great to be here. Finally, we're able to do this.
Absolutely. So great. Big news out of the college football world this week. Huge news. Nick Saban retiring from college football. Just want your initial thoughts on the announcement.
It's weird because over the weekend, professional football, you know, they were gearing up for Black Monday to see who might be stepping down, who might be fired. So when news broke of Pete Carroll getting moving away from his head coaching position, literally hours later, it was announced that Coach Nick Saban would be retiring from the Alabama Crimson Tide. And at first, it was a bit of a shock. Even though they made the college playoff, for some, a little bit of controversy, I didn't think that it would have warranted him leaving. But according to him, you know, like anything, when you need to leave, it would be better to be on your own terms than someone else trying to get you out. So the fact that he's saying, you know, he felt it was time, you know, I was okay with that. But at first, a shock, because if you just think of the years at Alabama, Nick Saban molded a new mindset and new generation for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Because if you mention Alabama Crimson Tide, and I was talking about this with a friend, if you mention Alabama, the first person you thought of was Coach Bear Bryant. Like, he was cemented in Alabama. For those of us who've seen Forrest Gump, some of us, you know, that's our first idea of Alabama and the football program, even though he was just a snippet for maybe, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, you know, when Forrest Gump, you know, Tom Hanks is running on the football field. But when Nick Saban got hired after his brief and tumultuous stint with the Miami Dolphins, those of us down here in Florida, we thought he was going to help turn that team around. A lot of Crimson Tide fans thought it was the best move. It did take a bit, but for the years he was there, 6 national championships, you know, numerous NFL draftees, numerous NFL superstars, you know, those still playing in the league right now, even those that transferred away and had success, they came through Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. And also, not just players, coaches. Think of the amount of coaches that have honed their skills under Nick Saban. So in a way, it is a shock for not just college football, but football in general, because when you have those coaches that make a big impact, especially at, you know, one school, and for Nick Saban, it's actually 2, it's a bit of an end of an era. But of course, football is changing. So while it's a bit sad, especially for us Crimson Tide fans, we do look to the future for what the Crimson Tide can do.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, it was funny because I was reading everything and he was already like calling for assistant coaches, bringing in new coaches, and then he just makes a decision. But it was kind of, the writing was on the wall, to be honest, because he's been against the NIL, he's been against transfer portal, the opt-outs, like everything. And over the last couple of years, watching Alabama, like, you knew, like, before NIL came in and the transfer portal, man, the lineage of like the running backs, the wide receivers, those recruits would stay. And the next year, the teams just got better and better. But you could see over the last couple of years that the talent, the 5 stars just weren't staying and they weren't the same team. Though I will say this year was his best coaching year with an Alabama Crimson Tide team. And I was very shocked to see him go because he was more animated. He had this team prepared. I know the defense and the snaps and everything in the semifinal game, you know, But I really thought, maybe this was the year once they got in. I was like, I know controversy around it, but they did get the right four teams. And I said to myself, you know what? If there's any team that could win this thing, I think Saban and Bama could find a way to win it. Unfortunately, they didn't, but I thought, Saban did a great job coaching this year.
And I agree with you because in the beginning, a lot of people were not giving Alabama, their just due. I believe a lot of the preseason analysts didn't even have Alabama being in the top four teams for playoff selection. So in the first few games, there was a little bit of rocky ride. Then he sits Jalen Milroe, but I think that helped Jalen Milroe fine-tune and lock in what he needed to do to be the Alabama quarterback. And not only that, it goes back to what you're saying. When you have a coach that has built the foundation for a team, and yes, he was against a transfer portal, he was against NIL, and those are going to be things that a lot of people are going to talk about, have differing opinions about. I myself do as well. Even within hours of him retiring, you had recruits that commit to Alabama withdraw their commitment. Even now, just the fact that Nick Saban retired, they have a new head coach, that transfer portal is literally blowing up. If you thought Deion Sanders and what he did when he got hired last year for Colorado, you are about to see some interesting things probably in the next few months. Because the transfer portal can get out of control, and Miguel and I even talked about this with the opt-out.
Oh.
That just it burns me. And the main one was Florida State. As much as I was giving Florida State, I know we're going off a bit topic here, but as much as I was giving Florida State their due, that they, as an undefeated team at the time, would have handled it being in the playoff semifinal very well. When they don't get selected, but they get the Orange Bowl, you're literally like 5 hours away. I'm 2 hours away from the Orange Bowl. You could have had a huge following of Seminole fans down at Hard Rock Stadium cheering you on. But then you had players after players after players opting out, or they wanted to get ready for the NFL draft. And the more I heard, the more I got upset. And I understand you want to prepare for the next step of your career, you want to prepare for your future. But why would your last game be an ACC title game, and then the last kind of image people see is you being disappointed that you didn't get into the college playoff? And then what happens? You go down to Miami Gardens and you just get smacked around. And not only do you get smacked around, you get smacked around by Georgia. And not only do you get smacked around by Georgia, you get smacked around by a Florida quarterback. Carson Beck is from Jacksonville. This young man was recruited by the Gators. Even Gator fans are mad the fact that he's playing for Georgia. So I know we got off topic a bit, but this is the extent of how college football is changing. And I did mention this to Miguel. Although I am upset, even though Nick Saban was against the transfer portal NIL, I would like to see him in the front offices, kind of like Mike Krzyzewski once he retired from Duke. Go into the front offices, find out what you can learn. Even at 72, the one thing I love about Nick Saban is we share a birthday. That's kind of one of the reasons I've followed him. We're both born on Halloween, which I thought is very cool. Go into the front offices, learn what you can, find out ways, because Nick Saban, like a lot of coaches, when you are in football for a long time, there is a lot of respect. You have some people that aren't gonna be your biggest fan because of maybe your attitude of certain things, but there is a lot of knowledge. That's a lot of knowledge you can pass on. That's a lot of knowledge you can exert with other people and saying, okay, why are you against the transfer portal? Why are you against the NIL? Okay, what suggestions would you make that we can make it better? Because NIL being what it is now, it just got out of control. That's now why the NCAA is instituting restrictions and regulations more. But if they did it from the beginning, it may not have been such a wide issue. But it's in a way, it's almost getting out of control, but you hope for good change to yield great results. And granted, change cannot happen overnight. So even just now in the past couple of days, Nick Saban retiring, Alabama hired a new coach. I literally just like maybe an hour before it was released, I said, I hope that Alabama goes in-house. Nick Saban laid a great foundation. He brought in coaches trying to, just like you said, create and lock in a foundation for Alabama football for the next few years. And then now we have a new head coach from Washington. Now, when I heard that, I was mad, but I'm kind of not mad. But still, if he brings in new head coaches, this is what I said, you sometimes don't need to rip up a foundation. There's nothing wrong with upgrades, but you don't need to tear down a house that's, let's say, a good stability of 5 years of great results to try to create something new. One of my science teachers in school said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But
Yeah, that's
now,
an old saying. That's an old
it's an
saying.
old thing. It's an old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But there's nothing wrong for me as a tech person, there's nothing wrong with a few upgrades. If new Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer is coming in, hey, work on that defense. That defense was a bit of a sore spot this weekend. If
Yes, it
Jalen,
was.
yeah, now so far I have not heard of Jalen Monroe hitting the transfer portal. So my guess is right now he is staying. So if Jalen Monroe is still staying, okay, now you have a quarterback who is a freshman. So you have him at least another year. So he is willing to learn. He has seen what you have done at Washington. He did a great job with Michael Penix Jr. The championship game can be another story, but just the run of Michael Penix Jr., also another Florida quarterback. He's from
Yep.
Tampa. I see him doing great things, but this is me being optimistic. This is me being an optimistic realist at this point, because even though you're going to have your naysayers, okay, he's going to bring in this, he's going to change that. This is a man that was just in a national championship game. He already knows what he has. Now, with a 12-team playoff, he now knows, okay, not only do we have the foundation, let's tweak it a bit, but now we have more competitive games that we need to win in the long run to bring a national championship to now Alabama. It's going to be tough for him. Already, I can kind of see it just from transfer portals in, because even his backup, I think, hit the transfer portal now too. So for the next few months, it's going to be interesting. And if we thought the transfer portal was going to blow up, right before playoff selection and bowl selection, it's about to get real interesting midsummer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think 100% on everything that you said. I was saying this on the podcast after Georgia got smoked. I want to circle back to that for a minute. After Georgia smoked Florida State and what Kirby Smart said it, and he was right. Florida State has a really good team and he feels bad, but it's their own fault because they had a chance to make a statement. They didn't make the statement. They could have said to the committee, we may potentially have a split national champion here. Because we're still undefeated. We beat a good Georgia team. We would have beat another SEC team. And but they decided to no show. And then they want to talk smack about Bama losing. You have no right to talk smack about anybody losing because you no showed. As far
You're
as, yeah, go ahead.
no. You're absolutely right. You're saying it right there. As much as trash talk, there is in football, always have to know, if you run your mouth and you do not back it up, welcome to the era of receipts. I like that term when
Yes.
people say I have receipts. If there's one thing I like about new terms, it's
I got a lot. I got a
I
lot of
got
receipts on
receipts.
my, I got my receipts on my phone too. And it was
I love
funny.
it.
It was funny, because I was telling somebody yesterday, I was like, Because you saw the coach, you saw Sark get a new contract, you saw
Yes.
Dan Lanning get a new contract, you saw Mike Norvell get a new contract. All the guys that were listed as potential replacements for Nick Saban, DeBoer was on that list. I saw James Franklin. I'm like, James Franklin's
Yes.
not going to Alabama.
Yes.
If Alabama decided to go after James Franklin, I would have been like, what are you doing?
No,
James
no.
Franklin has never won anything at Penn State, done nothing at Penn State. So that I knew he was already off the table. But I had this like, I was talking with some people and I was like, Lane Kiffin just feels like the guy to go to Alabama. I was like, I thought that was the guy that was going to go there. But I think he wants to build that foundation and everything at Ole Miss. And he's doing something so special at Ole Miss that I understand why he doesn't want to leave. Now, there could be some underlying tension there still with Alabama. So I'm not really sure. But to go to Kalen DeBoer in Washington, look, he did two great seasons in Washington. You're moving to the Big Ten. I know some people are going to say, well, it's the Big Ten. You want to go to the SEC to improve your coaching career. He still has a job to do it at Washington. And apparently, he's still got to pay them $12 million to because his contract's getting bought out. But he's going to Alabama. It's never easy to replace a legend. You're going to see it in New England. Jaron Mayo is going to be criticized to the moon because he's not Bill Belichick. The people need to realize it's going to be a process in Bama with Kalen DeBoer. He's a good coach. Knows how to recruit, but again, we haven't really seen it because he used the transfer portal a lot, especially
Right.
with Michael Penix. But I was really, really surprised it wasn't Lane Kiffin.
You know what? And it's funny you mentioned Lane Kiffin because once the Nick Saban retiring hit, a couple of my coworkers, big college football fans, mentioned it. And of course, the first name I heard was Coach Lansing at Oregon. And I felt that that wasn't going to work. He's doing really great things out of Oregon since Cristobal left. So I think him staying at Oregon was good for him. But as we were chatting, we kind of thought, you think a Nick Saban protege, a Nick Saban former assistant might come back. And I said, I don't think so, because especially like Jimbo Fisher, when he left Texas A&M, I didn't think that'd be a great fit. Dabo Sweeney had a up and down year at Clemson. But the one name that I wasn't mad at was Lane Kiffin. But I told my colleagues the same thing. I think what he is doing at Ole Miss is fantastic right now. He just needs a little bit more to get over that hump. And it was always, the can I beat Alabama,
He
mentality.
had a chance
That
to
kind
do
of
it this
He
year.
had a chance. He had probably, I want to say, three good chances this past year. Actually, I think last year was his closest. This year, they were close, but they just didn't get over the hump to finish the game that I thought would have been good for the team and him. But when you talk about hirings that I wouldn't have been mad at, if Lane Kiffin would have gotten the job, I would not have been mad at that. Now, Ole Miss might have been mad because you're working on this foundation, and this is kind of another thing why I love Lane Kiffin. For someone who is my age, I'm Gen X. You have a good coaching regimen now of individuals that can connect with these young men. And that's one thing when it comes to coaching. Now, granted, not everybody can coach, but I love the fact that if you can get in the mindset of these young men, they're already going to earn your respect. If you treat them like adults, a lot of them call them kids, and that's not disrespectful, because a lot of these teams have a family aspect, which I love. Even where I work, we have a bit of a familiar aspect. So when you have coaches like Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban and Kalen DeBoer and Dabo Sweeney and Shane Beamer, that they can connect with these young men, even the ones that come in through the transfer portal, not only do they yield results, but they also earn, and let me say that correctly, and earn a respect not only for the team, but for their players. That's how you see these good teams become great. Even if you want to say it, we're getting a bit off topic. Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I
I'll
mean,
say
look,
it. I'll
let's
say
say
it.
that Let's go to Harbaugh. Let's go to Harbaugh.
Everybody can talk whatever you want to. When he got hired at Michigan, I thought that was a great hire.
I
Within
agree.
3 years, everybody wanted this man's head. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, you have got to be patient. And this is pre-transfer portal. So Michigan was just, basing on recruits. So Harbaugh at Michigan, he had to weed out the naysayers. He had to recruit and get young men to come to Michigan to play for him, to play for his playing style, to rally around each other to become the familiar aspect that is very associated with college football. So then when you add the transfer portal into the mix, he does have great teams. He's had some really great teams at Michigan. Some of his standout scenes are mostly of just like right after COVID when you had his fifth year seniors finally beat Ohio State. And that's kind of the one thing of Michigan. Can we beat Ohio State? You have. That's kind of the legacy of the University of Michigan Wolverines. So now, even with all the noise of this year, his suspension, he brought a national championship to Michigan since 1997. So even Coach Bo Schembechler is going to, in any way, is going to be proud about this. Even every Wolverine alumnus, any Wolverine that played, is proud of this, is happy for this, is happy for Coach Harbaugh. I am too. Like
So
I
am
said,
I.
as a fan of college football, we have our teams. We have our teams. We have the gear. We have everything. Even though I'm a fan of Alabama Crimson Tide, I want to collect a lot of that gear that I can now get, thanks to, websites where I can, buy a Michigan t-shirt or a Washington t-shirt or Oregon t-shirt. But the one thing that's great, especially like me living in Florida, a lot of people who move here bring their teams with them. I worked with someone, her team was Oregon, but she's from Pennsylvania. My
That's an interesting combo.
General manager right now, he's from PA. He's from right outside of Pittsburgh. His team is Penn State. You better believe when college football season starts, I start to get on him. But that's the great nature of college football.
Is.
So we all have our teams. I have managers that are U University of Miami Hurricanes fans. We literally live 2 hours from Miami. I've never been a Hurricanes fan ever. But I know the lore and I know the admiration that the Hurricanes have. Even Miguel and I mentioned it, the 30 for 30
Oh, great, great
documentary.
documentary.
That
It's
is
funny.
probably the best documentary I've seen produced by ESPN. Ladies and gentlemen, gentle people, if you have not seen it, if you want insight as to not only a great college football team for a good span of years, it can help you understand the mindset of college football, why us fans gravitate to a team, why we love watching college football. Other things aside, just the aspect of recruiting and who has played for Miami, who has coached at Miami, who has just come through the University of Hurricane campus. I mean, how can you not be? Ooh, I'm like, how can you not be inspired by that?
No, I mean, it's great. I mean, I grew up a Hurricanes fan, living in Jersey and stuff. I was a big Hurricanes fan. Oh, my dad did not like that because he went to Rutgers. But I was like, but I'm like, well, I don't really want to root for Rutgers. And I like all these guys and they have attitude. And I'm a hockey player and we have attitudes. So, yeah. And then, at the time I was like, well, and then you follow wrestling and The Rock and you hear about his lineage. I was like, oh, well, I knew he played there, but he really didn't make too much of an impact. But then you see all these guys that come through, and that 30 for 30 you mentioned is so good. I knew a couple of actual guys in there. There's people I know I vacation with up in Vermont, the guy Don Bailey and his son. They co did games there. People I know went to that school. I always said if my N Miami now has a college hockey team. I said if Miami had a college hockey team when I was getting recruited, I would have gone down south to play hockey. But they didn't have the time. That's why I went north. But it's funny because everybody talks about, well, Miami's back. I'm like, they're not back yet because they still haven't won anything. They take steps and then they go back. Texas is starting to get back that way. They've taken the right steps. Steve Sarkisian's done a great job this year with the coaching. I thought the Pac-12 had the best conference this year.
Yes.
They really did. The SEC's always good. Georgia could have made a case to play in the 14 playoff. I was really surprised they didn't get in, considering that they were the defending two-time national champions. But all that aside, they did lose. Bama beat them in the SEC championship game. But it was such a fun year. And you mentioned Harbaugh and his controversy. But you know what? Controversy brings eyeballs. People want to watch Michigan either win or lose. And there was a lot of people wanting to. For Michigan to lose against Washington, the same thing people feel the same way about Notre Dame and Duke in basketball. Like there's you have those allegiances, but when you step aside, you say, oh man, the game's a good place when these older teams that built the foundation of college football win.
You're absolutely correct, and Miguel and I kind of pointed this out every so often when you have the story, just like in NFL or NHL or even college basketball, any professional sport, when you have these storied franchises and storied teams when they come back to prominence, like this year, University of Michigan. But when Nick Saban, going back to our Nick Saban conversation, when Nick Saban was winning at Alabama, the comparison to Coach Bryant started to rumble when he brought the first national championship back to Alabama. The comparison started going. The only thing missing is the fedora, really.
Well, I was going back. Remember his first game? I'll never forget it because I'm so mad CBS is not having the SEC this year,
Yes.
coming up because it's so stupid. But that's another conversation for another day. I will never forget that promo when Nick Saban brought Alabama to Death Valley for the first time after he came back from the NFL because he had just because LSU won the national title in
Yep.
2003. Did a great job building that foundation. I'm like, oh, well, Saban will
Yes,
be at
absolutely.
LSU for years. Like, he's never going anywhere. He's going to be like Joe Pye. He's going to be like
Yeah.
everybody else. Then he goes to the NFL and then he goes to Alabama and he goes there to Death Valley. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot wait for
Yeah.
this 3:30 game on CBS to see what happens. And that's what you love about college football because the hype package, like everything's like, what's going to
Oh
happen?
yeah. Oh yeah. Thank goodness for, the one aspects I love is thank goodness for YouTube. You have a lot of creators and fans of sports that can create, granted you have people that do it professionally, but when you have people just for their love of the sport, can put together something that just draws you in and intrigues you, that it just makes you go, I have to be there. Like, I either have to be there, I have to watch it. Don't talk to me, don't text me, don't call me. Like, my friends know, come August, early September, college football season, don't ask me to work a weekend. Don't call me. Literally from 9 a.m. to midnight on Saturdays, I'm
1
watching
a.m.
football and
sometimes, 1
1 a.m.
a.m.
sometimes
Central.
I'm watching college football in some aspects. Even when Miguel and I, we take a look at the games of the week, I'm like, okay, even though we're doing our pregame analysis, I'm looking at the games to see, okay, I'll watch an early game. None of the mid-afternoon games are interesting to me, so I can run my errands then. I can come back, watch a primetime game. Okay, what's going on the West Coast? Okay, that's an interesting West Coast game. The only thing I have to worry about is will I get enough sleep to go to church the next day?
Hey,
But
sometimes you got to go to church tired. You have to go to church tired.
but the best thing about when I go to church is only an hour long. Growing up, we had church all day. So if I get to church at 11, I'm out by 12:15. So, but the best thing about college football when I started following it, especially around the time Nick Saban came back to Alabama, it was all these interconnected stories. Granted, you have the old rivalries of conference rivalries like the Red River rivalry, Texas, Oklahoma. Granted, now they're not going to be in the same conference, but it's still going to exist, even with, like you said, the Pac-12. Pac-12 had probably the best games this year. For a conference that's not going to exist, the Pac-12 had the best games, and it was not surprising on a Friday night or a Saturday that there was a Pac-12 game or a team or a team that represented the Pac-12 on TV and eyes were watching. So it kind of goes to the aspect I was gearing to for people that move to Florida. They bring their teams with them. The one thing I love about college football, I became an Alabama fan because I was following Nick Saban when he got to Miami. So when he went back to college, I just followed him. And then I learned more about him. And then from there, I just learned more about college football. Like I said, I live in Florida. Where I live, it's a recruiting paradise. It's almost like the old days of the state of Miami. I live in what was initially called the state of Miami. I live on what's called the Treasure Coast. So I'm near havens of like Belgrade, Moorhaven, Pahokee. A lot of teams, it just in Florida recruited heavily where I live. Now, if you look at, we'll use the Alabama aspect. Derrick Henry, he's from Yulee. He's about 4 hours away from me. In Yulee, there's nothing. There's nothing but fields. So when there's nothing, you play sports. So just like in certain areas of Florida, if there's nothing, you play football. And as a southern state, that's literally what you do. So even though the days of the transfer portal, like I said, I love repping my Florida players, even if you're not playing for a Florida team. So looking at Michael Penix Jr. going to Washington, he's from Tampa. Carson Beck is from Jacksonville. Other schools learned to recruit, and we'll go back to the University of Miami on this one, learn to recruit by that. So it's no surprise that if you're watching a Texas game or Oklahoma game or a Penn State game or a Michigan game, that you will find players, and a good many of them from Florida, Georgia, or Texas. And it was so surprising as a teenager watching it, like, why would you leave home to go play at California? But now with not just NIL, but just social media, you getting your highlight reel online that millions of people can see, and coaching staff and social media managers are looking at, gearing toward, you're like, okay, this could be a great player, but what are they going to bring to the school, and not just their aspect of play? So even with NIL still being wonky as it is, the fact that you can get a showcase of a player from the Southeast to the West Coast and vice versa is amazing. Like I said, for football season, 9 a.m. came college game day till midnight, 1 a.m. watching football on the West Coast, because I'm finding these players that are from all over the country and they're playing at schools that are far away from home. And like I told a friend of mine, granted they're athletes, but they are student athletes.
Yeah, well,
Don't just
student athletes.
I know, but I'm an academic, so I'm granted there's still a bit of naivety to me. I have two bachelor degrees, so my
I mean,
aspect
I
of
was a
learning
student
is always.
athlete. I played college hockey. I was just like, I was a legit student athlete. There was no like NIL or anything like that. Like, I played college hockey. Like, that was it. But today it's like, yeah, we know, but we don't. We want to keep it that way, but we know it doesn't exist. And the recruiting thing, and look, New Jersey, everybody from Southeastern Conference, Miami's, like, everybody was always recruiting out of New Jersey with Don Bosco, St. Joe's, Bergen Catholic, like the big heavy hitters. Those, like, because New Jersey is one of the best high schools, has one of the best high school teams. Probably every year they have always guys always want to leave because they want to go NFL. They got dreams and stuff like that. They're trying to keep the guys in house now, but it's so hard to do because, like you said, Alabama's recruiting north, Michigan's recruiting that way, Miami, you got Florida, like everybody's recruiting, and it's so cool to see because it just makes the game so much better. And you say, oh, I know this kid, This guy played at Don Bosco. This guy played St. Joe's, Bergen Catholic, wherever. And you're just like, oh, well, yeah, I remember watching the high school game and the championship game at Giant Stadium. I remember watching those guys play. And it's great to see. And that's what makes college football so much fun.
Oh, absolutely. Because even like I said, in my neck of the woods, my mother was a teacher and all her friends were teachers. So they know that I do college football podcasts. They inform me, hey, Avery, so and so, he plays for the University of Central Florida. Can you give him a shout out? Absolutely. Granted, we're small, but I like to know that local individuals, are at the college stage, If they make it big, I'm all for it. But sometimes just knowing that your hometown is rooting for you. The one thing from my hometown, Charles Johnson was the first draftee of the Florida Marlins. He played high school in my hometown at Westwood. And more recently, you have Camille Mack, who he was drafted by the Bears, I believe.
Yes.
He played college football up in Buffalo. My cousin was actually his roommate. And he went to high school here too. So knowing, the tiny interconnecting aspects, just like where you grew up in New Jersey, me in Florida, it's great to see. And I've done it in the couple of seasons we've done. College football time. When I find out there are Florida players, I like to rep the team, if you will. Not for my sake, but for the sake of, most of the country kind of makes fun of Florida of any aspect, and I'm good natured about that too. But I love when you have young men and women who are from a small town like mine, or a big town in Florida, and they want to pursue that dream of professional football or professional sports. And like I said, the academic in me, yes, I still see them as student athletes, but my mom told me something many years ago. What's your backup plan? Things happen. I wish no ill will on any athlete whatsoever. But if you're going to play a sport, what is your backup plan? I'll never forget, this past summer, I had surgery and I was laid up for a good week out of town. And my go-to of kind of, not dealing with pain is watching sports. And I got to watch the National Gymnastics Championships. Now, I think gymnastics is a great sport. Man, there is athleticism abound. So, not only watching these young men and women win a national championship for their school, LSU, Utah, the Florida Gators, South Carolina, it was interesting to see some teams that I'm familiar with in college football have really good gymnastics squads too. But also, they're showcasing where they're from. And also their major. So it was great to see, these individuals who possibly want to be on an Olympic team getting a degree in sports administration, who are pre-med, who are biology majors, who want to go in research. So, like I said, it's the naivety in me. So for student athletes, if you have the backup plan, if college football or professional sports doesn't pan out, if what you're gearing toward is still sports related, hey, I'm all for it. Because in a way, I'm backwards. One of my first dreams was to work for ESPN. Didn't work out, but I'm back to the dream of my initial dream of what I want to do. And that's thanks to, the internet, to social media, to the fact that I can connect with people literally all around the world because of my love of sports. And it even goes back to the idea of sports in general. Sports as a whole has connected us. And it's kind of one of my own personal philosophies. As far as connecting sports is it. Music, humor, and food. And sports is one thing when you're feeling down or if something happens, sports has a way of connecting us in a way that not just maybe a hug or maybe just, hey, you want to talk about what happened. It can help us. Like I said, I had surgery. I was just flipping the channel and I landed on ESPN. ESPN has been a tried and true for me for a good number of years. So when I was in pain and I'm flipping through and I see sports, it made me happy, just to take away from what I was dealing with. And that change that has a great way of getting toward anyone, knowing that you played college hockey. I'm already not just a fan of knowing you with your work at McGill. I'm already a fan of you now just knowing you are a student athlete. You play hockey. I love hockey. I've only been a hockey fan for less number of years, and I've been a baseball fan and a football fan. So it's great how we can connect, even if on the surface we don't think we can. And that's the great thing about sports.
It is. It's a great thing about sports, great thing about college football. This has been a great conversation we've been having today, Avery. I am just so happy that you could come on a podcast today and give me your thoughts on everything that's in the college football world this today and what's been going on this week. Before we get wrap this up, where can everybody find you?
Thank you so much, Jim, for having me. You can find me on LadyAveryReview.com. I also have a podcast. I only have a few episodes, but new year, new me in the future. I'm working on a few things. You can also find my podcast on Apple and Spotify. Thank you so very much, Jim, for having me. It's been a wonderful journey. It's amazing, and I hope we can do this again.
Absolutely, we will. This has been Around the Gridiron, Around Campus, the Full Press College Football Podcast. I've been your host, Jim Berenger, alongside Avery Jones. It's been a collaboration with the MMM Journal. Guys, get it iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Take care.